Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. We are tonight's entertainment.
I only have one question.
Do you think I deserve your full attention?
That's what I like to hear.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to 90.3 WRST FM Oshkosh. This is Script to Screen, and I'm your host, Max. And joining me here in the booth is Gideon.
Last time.
It is the final episode. Last the time. Grand conclusion.
Run out of space on the spreadsheet.
Yeah, they're kicking us out. Our rent is due, and we do not have the money. No. Yeah, it's all over. But this is going to be our final episode, and I'm sorry that we don't have grander movies to do, but I figure we have the biggest movie in theaters at the moment to really talk about, that being Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness. Mm-hmm. And then we also have a movie that's kind of a Multiverse of Madness dealio in its own right, Annihilation, which came out a few years back, one of the few movies to pass the Bechdel test. Now, I'll let you decide if that's a good or bad thing on your own, but I do believe it's like one of the best examples of a movie that passes that. So, Gideon, which one do you want to talk about first?
I would like to do Doctor Strange, but I mean, whatever.
No, I'm down for it. Let's do it. Let's
talk Doctor Strange.
It's in theaters right now. It's kind of the biggest movie happening. Do I think it's deserving of being the biggest movie right now? No. I think Northman was a lot better than this. I think there were numerous movies that are a lot better than this. Everything Everywhere All at Once, far better than this movie.
Well, give us a little summary.
A little summary of Doctor Strange. Okay, well, after the events of the last Spider-Man movie, you know, there's been kind of some movement with the multiverse stuff in the broader MCU, and also it seems like
super substantive way, but
yeah,
yes.
but I mean, multiverse stuff has been kind of moving along, and now he's got some experience with it. But this one seems definitely more focused on Scarlet Witch and him. It's less about the multiverse and more about her being kind of the bad guy in this, and
kind of
is the bad guy in this. But I'm just saying, like, this movie does kind of punish you if you didn't watch, if you didn't watch WandaVision, which I am one of the people who didn't.
I think you are better off.
I mean, given that I didn't like this movie, I am glad I didn't waste my time with WandaVision.
This is way better than WandaVision.
Yeah, but it kind of is. It's the first time we've seen like any mention of Doctor Strange's love interest since the first Doctor Strange movie, I'm pretty sure. And like,
yeah, pretty much.
And Michael Stahlberg's back
for one scene.
So they do. But I thought it was so funny they gave him like top billing.
It revolves around this new character named America which is a little bit distracting. Whenever they say America, you think that they're talking about, you don't think that, but like it kind of sounds like they're actually talking about like, you know, the America we live in.
She has the ability to kind of go to different dimensions.
Travel between, well, not to different dimensions, between different universes.
Yeah.
Dimensions and universes are not the same thing, but
I feel like they're synonymous in this context, but
I disagree, but
anyways, so she's kind of like being hunted, and she was originally being helped by another Doctor Strange to try to beat the things that were hunting her. And then you kind of find out that, oh, who's hunting her? It's been Wanda this whole time. And then now stuff gets turned up to nine a little bit. And then it's like, it's a battle between wizards and witches and a lot of weird, multi-dimensional
travel. Versus everybody else.
Yeah.
And it's her
being OP the entire time.
Epic.
And yeah.
I think the thing that I like about this movie a lot, and this goes in with plot summary, is that it's pretty simple. You know, it's Wanda going off and then they have to deal with that. I love that about this movie. I feel like it understands how to do a superhero movie in the sense that it's actually doing a super, I feel like I've talked about this for 5 weeks in a row now, but in the sense that it's actually doing a superhero movie, it's actually being a superhero movie. It's not trying to be something else. It's like we're doing crazy ideas.
So you liked this movie?
I really liked this movie. And the thing about it is that I coming out of the theater, I was like a lot of really dumb stuff, right? Like a lot of dumb stuff. at the same time, this has stuck with me. Images and moments and character stuff more than, I don't know, any single movie since... Any single MCU movie since maybe Black Panther. Mm. Like, I think this is probably the best one since Black Panther.
When did Black Panther come out?
Infinity 2018. Oh. So I think Infinity War and Endgame are cool in their own right, in the sense that this is kind of like this culmination of superhero, or culmination of anything that we haven't really seen before in terms of cinematic storytelling. It's not really that cool because you're just doing TV with movies. I think people give it a little bit more credit, but in terms of the industry and the business that it's been able to pull off, that is, you know, I don't know if it's laudable, but it is impressive regardless. And those two films are perfect at doing that regardless of their artistic merits. This movie, I mean, I can go off on so many different things that I love, like the mirror sequence with the puddles. Like, that is the probably maybe the single coolest image that the MCU has ever put out.
Yeah, but they ripped off Infinity Train.
I don't know what that is, but
you might not have watched it, but they had a whole thing where a character was essentially running away from, how do I describe it?
There's a great video that I can send you about how Inception rips off Satoshi Kon's work, especially Paprika, quote unquote rips off. The idea being that doing something over again is not ripping something off, because we've been doing the same thing over again since the beginning of time.
Yeah, I don't mean it in a malicious... I shouldn't have said it that way. I wasn't, like, angry at it. I don't think they're actually, like...
No, they're not
taking that, but I'm just saying I think Infinity Train does it better.
I don't know what Infinity Train did. The part that I really liked about it was the unexpected use of the puddles. It kind of was, oh, that's an interesting way. Like, it's just the way a filmmaker can surprise you with something. And when these films have become so repetitive to the point of mundanity, the ending of this movie, finally a third act that's not, you know, laser beam from the sky.
I had a lot of issues with this movie. And one I want to bring up, because it really throws off this whole thing. How come, if Doctor Strange has this power to erase people from people's memories, why doesn't he just erase her idea of her children or Vision Wanda's mind?
No, that's I agree. I was not thinking about it. Like, I feel like you can't, I don't know. This is a little bit of a difficult question to answer, because this is the MCU's problem, right? They have to make all of their movies the same in order to kind of keep the logic coherent. Mm-hmm. So I'd rather have the logic of the overall universe being coherent than have incoherent logic in the universe than have a terrible movie. And I feel like this one kind of just throws the rules to the wind and goes for it in terms of, but not emotional and character rules. That's the thing. Like, the emotion of this character, if you do not buy into Wanda going insane because of her relationship with her kids, you're not going to buy this movie. I think the way they play this, for her kind of going off the deep end, plays really well. And I'm kind of in with her. And not only does it play emotionally well, I think it plays, like, philosophically well. And this is something that I said about No Way Home, and the way that they play with the multiverse stuff and how the multiverse logic doesn't really work. Here, I really like it, because what they kind of end up doing is she needs to realize that the multiverse and accessing the multiverse, the way that she's doing it, is not okay. And I think that's something that the previous films, including Everything Everywhere All at Once, or even other multiverse films that have come out recently, even Spider-Verse to a certain extent, doesn't really deal with this type of thing. It does a little bit, but not really in the same way that this one does. It kind of says to Wanda, like, you have to be satisfied with what you're given in this universe. And that is a concept that I'm completely on board with, and that this film sticks to from the start. And that's a big reason why I'm kind of, like, coming back around to this movie. So there's a couple individual things that don't quite fit together, but overall, I think that the core of the movie is her and that dilemma, and I really, really love that.
But I also have a lot of issues with some other logic here.
I agree. There's a bunch of weird logic stuff.
You have to live with what you got here. Mm-hmm. Well, they kind of stand on that high horse to save essentially one person's life, and that would be the other dimension's Wanda, right? Because yeah. I know if she goes over there, she's going to kill her and take her place, essentially.
Yes.
How many people died trying to stop her from killing one person?
Well, that's the point. That's half the point of the movie.
But that's the stupidity of it.
That's not
literally. You would have.
You can call it stupid. I 100% agree with it, though. Like, you have to. You sacrifice. You put. It's like one life is worth. It's the same dilemma with Saving Private Ryan, where you have Private Ryan out there in nowhere, and then you've got Tom Hanks' character who is like, I got my team. It's not worth it to me personally to sacrifice the lives of my teammate to go save this one, literally one guy's life. Mm-hmm. But his duty is to both sacrifice himself and everybody else to go do that, because that's the duty. That's what you have to do. It's the same moral dilemma.
I just think it just was ridiculous. Like, to me, it just seemed ridiculous, because they're claiming, okay, we got to do all this to save one person's life, and then at least 50 people die.
Well, technically two if you count America, but...
Because they're protecting her as well. Her life as well. But still, two versus just all of these other people, all of these wizards.
A little bit, to a certain extent, the trolley problem, but not quite in the same way. But like, is the one? It's not. You protect the one life in hopes that everybody stays alive, but you still have to lay your life on the line for somebody else.
Yeah, and I get that. Like,
yes,
justification,
it's entirely irrational.
It just seems silly to me.
I'm just, but that's what you have to do.
Like, obviously, you might not want to let her kill America, because she, she's just kind of innocent in this, and she didn't ask for those powers. She did, you know, she kind of is this out. She's an ends to a means here for Wanda, and obviously defending her has more justification than even defending like other Wanda, because as far as we know, other Wandas in other universes should still have those powers. I think the one that she was mostly trying to get did have those powers, mm-hmm. in the other universe.
Yeah, she did, because she uses them to exactly. in the Illuminati.
So, well, yeah, but you don't know if the powers are just going through that person. But
I assumed
it was a different moment. It was later on in the movie when she sees her. I'm pretty sure she does like some red, you know, magic hands a second. The other universe one. So. Yeah, I don't know. There was a lot of issues I had with this movie. That I think it had some of the worst acting out of any Marvel movie I've ever seen. Like, primarily the kids. Those two kids were horrible.
Yeah, it's entirely hammy. It's awesome, though.
Those kids were bad. I mean, that was just bad acting and bad writing for them. Like, it was a... You know,
well, they're sitcom
punch.
Kids. Is the it I mean, so it's kind of the, I mean, that's kind of the context of WandaVision a little bit, but
these are not her. These are not a vision of hers. These are actual realized people.
Well, at a certain point, they are a vision of hers, but
in the show, perhaps.
No, in the movie, they are also at certain points.
Yeah, when she's dreaming and stuff. But again, we're told that this is just apparently dreams are projections of or you seeing yourself from the viewpoint of yourself in other universes.
Yeah.
So, okay, but then they're still real, because then she's just seeing them.
Oh, yeah,
that
doesn't make any sense either if you consider the context of WandaVision, because her kind of dreaming all this stuff, is it like she dreamed, she made kids in WandaVision that she came from her head that are the same in other users? Like in WandaVision, it's like the retroactive.
Yeah, who's the dad in those ones? It's like,
I agree. It's not sensical, but like, since when have superhero movies ever been sensical? Like
2008. That's my answer.
Well, I know,
since 2008, it started a trend of them trying to at least justify superhero movies.
Yeah, I agree, and it was a bad idea.
You're coming off of Dark Knight, you're coming off of Iron Man, and then the next year you have Watchmen.
And then, well, Watchmen has been around since 1980. So
I know, but if we're talking about superhero movies, then again, one of the most realistic superhero movies,
concept was not new. Idea of doing a realistic superhero film or a superhero story, Watchmen does it in ways that are much more interesting than like the MCU. What in the way that it's doing and trying to create a realistic universe, I just don't like it. I don't think it fits with the way that you can, you know, bend reality, use the schlocky. I think Raimi knows how to do these things. I think he knows how to make things schlocky. I think he understands that the genre itself is inherently schlocky, and that's not a bad thing. I think we're so intent to run away from it that we end up trying to make. This is the same. This is kind of the thing that Scorsese was talking about. We're trying to make superhero movies into other things. We're trying to make them into the high art films, which they're not and shouldn't be.
Imagine, dude. Well, no,
it doesn't make, it does not make them not art. I saw Ethan Hawke talking about this actually. Ethan Hawke had a great interview where he was saying how like Logan, Dark Knight, are some of his favorite films. But as soon as we allow, and he used the example of Fanny and Alexander, which I love because that's one of my favorite movies. But if we, as soon as we try to say these need to be in the same category as Fanny and Alexander, then we kill Fanny and Alexander. There's no place for it anymore. And that's kind of the idea. So I think what Sam Raimi is doing here is taking his sensibilities from his, you know, early 2000s work, Evil Dead included, and, you know, saying here's my stamp on it, and this goes down to the character work. It goes down to that type of that you know, his sense of humor, his sense of directing actors, but it comes down to the camera as well and all the awesome transitions that we get here. You know, the awesome punch ins and. You know,
there were some good transitions, but it's not enough to justify. I had a lot of issues story wise, visually, acting, writing. I had a lot of issues with this movie. I mean, in almost every category. I do want to say one good thing before we start getting into stories, though. I do like how hard this movie went in the paint when it came to actually like some of the action and some of the like violence.
That's, yeah.
Because I think Marvel and DC DC more than Marvel actually, because DC had the Harley Quinn TV show, and I guess in some ways like Doom Patrol and some other things, but these two companies are really starting to understand that there is a market for pretty darn violent superhero movies. Like you look at the success Amazon has had with The Boys. Now I personally hate that show, but I can't deny that it is extremely popular and still is, and people are looking forward to season 3.
Market is something that I will never understand.
Well, hold on. And then also you have Invincible, which I think is a much better show and actually does the emotional, like it has the right story beats, it does emotional development well, it does a whole bunch of things.
I'm much more interested in Invincible than I am The Boys.
Invincible is a lot better, and it's because it was written by somebody who really knows what they're doing, and it was already a very popular and fleshed out comic book series, much more than The Boys was. I think, you know, it was actually written by somebody who likes superheroes. The Boys was written as
a joke. That's what I'm saying.
Joke.
I feel like they're written by people who are ashamed of the superhero aspect, and they're trying to make superheroes into, like, you know.
So I know
not superheroes anymore.
I don't know
if you know what I'm saying.
Who the guy who wrote the? I know the guy who wrote The Boys is the same guy who wrote Preacher, and he wrote The Boys because he literally hates the superhero genre. He hates the concept of superheroes. He wrote it to be just to ruin the idea of superheroes for people and to get out whatever sort of demons he had in regards that he wanted to just flesh it all out. Invincible is something different. That's the guy who wrote Walking Dead. And so he loves that. He loves that genre. Clearly he was like, I think we can do it, but more realistically. And I think it's a way of having the right vibe of superheroes, but also having that real, there's death, there's violence, there's serious consequences.
Death and violence are 100% inherent to the superhero genre. That's not really what I'm talking about.
But I'm talking more, you know, it's not just like, oh, this person's going to be, you know, it gets killed in a very PG way, and then three books later, they're going to get revived by some magic amulet. It's not like that. It's like, it's real consequences, real, like, Marvel still hasn't fully caught up with all that yet, but I'm just saying that this movie seems to show that they are starting to realize that they need to start marketing a little bit to an older audience, and hence, like, some characters' deaths in this are pretty brutal, and I could appreciate that, and they really pushed the PG-13 mark. It definitely shouldn't be R. I know some people were saying it should have been like PG-15 or something, which must be a rating in some other countries, but it towed the line a little bit, and I did appreciate that.
Yeah.
But overall, I really don't like Sam Raimi's Marvel movies. I really don't. I think he's one of the worst directors to touch the MCU, and before the MCU, just to touch Marvel movies.
Well, and that's what people have been. This is a very divisive thing, but some people are saying that Sam Raimi's style does not fit with the MCU's established style, which I think is ridiculous because the MCU does not have an established style. They don't allow anybody to do anything. It's just shoot everything in the way that we tell you to, which is again, the way that you would shoot a TV show. It's just, there's no choices being made.
I mean, yeah.
Which is when Rami comes in and does and makes choices, and then people don't like it.
I think they might not like it for a whole bunch of different reasons. I wouldn't say he's necessarily going so against the grain that it doesn't fit in the MCU in general. I just think his style visually I didn't like. It was very too bright. The story seemed a little too campy at times, and
that's what I'm saying. This is what superhero movies are like.
I don't know. I prefer a more serious one.
They don't have to be that way, but I think that the best ones often are.
I think the most lighthearted one that I think Wonder Woman is almost the perfect one, where it's a little bit lighthearted, but still it's some serious action and some, like, I think that's the peak. But you have things like Joker and the most recent Batman movie. I think those are just fantastic. I love those movies.
See, Joker is the thing I'm talking about, where we're taking characters that are comic book characters and then copy pasting art house sensibilities on top of them. It just doesn't make sense to me.
I loved it. I thought Joaquin Phoenix nailed it.
You can talk about the technical merits of it, which, you know, they're there. I think that the very concept of doing Taxi Driver but with a comic book character is stupid.
I think you'd have an argument if that Joker movie sucked, but I really don't think it sucked. Most people didn't think it sucked.
Half of the people did think it sucked. It was a very divisive film.
Do you want to start getting into stores here for Multiverse of Madness?
I think.
Because we're going to have to do this a little short, because I have a little surprise for the audience here the final 3 minutes. So we got to.
First impression is our first category. I did not love this movie when I first came out of it, but I think a lot of it has grown on me because it does have these images that stick with you. And I think, you know, all the jump scares I love. Like, this is something that's new to this universe.
I also didn't understand why he was injecting so many of those. Like, that just tonally, it just would go from, like, being a normal movie, and then all of a sudden he just tries to throw those in.
I think I loved the whole sequence where she kind of goes into the other Wanda's body, and it's like a haunted house movie for, like, 2 minutes, and I just wanted more of that. I think it's there and it's so awesome, and then it's just the pacing of the movie doesn't really allow for it to stretch out to where it needs to go. But even to have it is wonderful. I think this is more stuff like this. It's not going to happen because people are going to lash out against it, and it's going to drop 60% in its second weekend. Well, actually, that's not necessarily true because nothing is coming. Well, it's making a ton of money. I don't know if it's going to hold this weekend or not. Nothing is coming out, which does bode well for it. Nothing really comes out until Top Gun Maverick at the end of the month.
Oh, that's going to be... And Bob's Burgers. I think it comes out on Memorial Day.
Well, yeah, but I'm talking about, like, huge blockbusters.
Excuse me? Bob, Linda, Jean, Tina, and Luis, they're not going to be a major hit? Come on, man. They're coming to the big screen.
A hundred million dollar movie are two completely different things.
Okay. I'm saying
competition for Doctor Strange to take it off the number one spot.
You're right. Yeah. I'm just messing with you.
No, I got you.
But I don't know. First impression. See, this is where it's tough because I'm trying to remember what I would have given the first Doctor Strange. Did we review the first one?
I don't think so. I think this is better than that one is.
I do agree. Now, that I do agree with. 100% this is better than the first Doctor Strange. I thought the first Doctor Strange was like
I still like the first Doctor Strange more than a bunch of the MCU, but
I thought it was one of the worst Marvel movies. I really did. That and the Thor movies, I think, are just the worst. But and the first Captain America. Oh, God, that movie sucks. But this one's better than the first Doctor Strange, but that's about all I can say for it. It's definitely like below the 50% mark out of all of them. So I would say probably a 4 for first impression. I was not very impressed with this.
That's not terrible. I mean, I could have...
It wasn't god-awful. It wasn't the first Thor movie, but I'm just saying it wasn't...
Nor the second Thor movie.
Yeah, I never even saw that one, but it's just boring. I didn't like the first Thor.
It's just boring. That one's boring as well.
But to me, a 4 is very low for a first impression, because I get into movies, and when I'm at a theater and I don't have a bad experience at the theater, which I had a great experience, it just was like... nothing, and the crowd wasn't getting into it at all, and I don't know. It was just lame. But no, it was a 4 out of 10 for me for sure.
Yeah. Story is our next category. I think here's the thing about this film in terms of story is that it does so many things right but it's still tied down by the formula. It's still tied down by the necessary things that they have to do for the universe. So like the Illuminati thing, you get some good kills out of it with the, what happens with the,
well, what I don't want to get too far into.
Well, I mean, I'm not saying who, what's,
It's getting into spoiler territory. Leave
okay,
it.
Okay. Everything that happens there, I think there's, it's more or less superfluous and feels like it's basic fan service and not really needed for Wanda's story. Everything around that, I think America is the least interesting character here, which is not a good... I mean, she's more interesting than all the cameos, but she's not... I think she's interesting enough. I think she does not do any favors for the movie. And I think that this has nothing to do with the actor. I don't think she has any characteristics really given to her that are interesting. I think you could say the same thing about Christine to a certain extent. I think they're relying off the romance that was built in the first film without really any expanding upon it.
Which there wasn't much to that one in the first film.
No, I know. So that aspect of it is not great. But again, I think the backbone of the movie is Wanda, and that does work.
Yeah.
So I think that's the thing. Like, there's a bunch of the supporting pieces that don't fall together, but the backbone is so strong that it's difficult for me to pull this down too much. I guess I just want to be positive because I like so much of the filmmaking going on here. I think Wong is given way too much to say. He turns into the joke character.
He's the one good thing in this movie. Wong was I couldn't believe it. I was like, he's the best part of this movie. I couldn't.
I think he talks too much. I think you can have him do quips. That's fine, I guess. I think there's times where he becomes the exposition character where he doesn't need to be. That's really what I'm talking about. Mm. I think other than that, he's great. Like the part where he goes, "Fortify your mind." I love that moment. That's so awesome.
I just like how he still like kind of trolls Doctor Strange.
Yeah, that's awesome being too. Their relationship is interesting, but like that again, this is the problem of the grand universe thing is because he's been crowned Sorcerer Supreme before this movie and then stays Sorcerer Supreme by the end of the movie. So like that relationship between them does not change at all.
Yeah.
So if you're doing a contained movie, and the way you're going to write this is you're going to have, their relationship in terms of who's the Sorcerer Supreme, how they feel about that, that's going to change by the end. You're going to have America have a complete character arc by the end. You're not going to have her, you know, doing whatever she has at the end. You know what I'm talking about? Like, it's not going to be... Like, there's just a lot of flat character arcs because they have to set up things for later, which is just the stupid thing about this stupid formula that they've set up because they can't... They have to put things out so fast that they can't, you know, build actual relationships that change over the course of a movie. This is the downfall of the formula. On the other hand... The main arc of the movie is great, but a better movie is going to have the main arc be great, and then you're going to have little dovetails throughout with all the different things, and by the end, it'll all coalesce, and you have your catharsis moments where everything is going to kind of come together, and everyone will go through their character change at the same time, and it's going to be great. I mean, you think of... what's a good example of this? I think Lord of the Rings does this, and like, I mean, hard to compare to Lord of the Rings, because Lord of the Rings is the best of all time, but in terms of, like, you know, characters who come to fruition at the same time. You have people who are entirely fleshed out that are not going to need to have their character arc not finished because we need to finish it later. It's just so dumb. Star Wars does it too. I think Star Wars is one of the best at that in terms of, you know, cross-cutting. I think you think of...
Episode 5.
Episode 5. The cross-cutting, and then they come together at the end, and they all have their complete arcs, and it's just, you know, it's you're doing an actual story. You don't have to set things up. They're not saying, hey, guys, guess what? 20 years from now, Palpatine's coming back, so we got to set up whoever's art. Yeah. It's just like no one, what's the word for it? It's just delayed payoff and continuous infinite delayed payoff. And that's kind of what these things have done. Like, I've seen people on Twitter talking about, you know, the Secret Wars or whatever, which I don't even know what that is. I'm not a comic book person, but they're like, yo, Marvel's gonna never be able to top this if this comes out and they get Wolverine and Dr. X and all together in one frame. And it's like, what happened to good storytelling, guys? Like, what happened to having a contained movie that actually was itself, like, you know, good?
Yeah.
Not throwing characters into the screen.
Yeah, you should always, anything you make, you should treat it like this is your one shot.
This is it.
This is it. There shouldn't. I mean, that's why Smiling Friends is great, because they made that thinking this might be our only time to ever make this. So that's why their pilot is so funny. And then they just got greenlit, and then it's like, okay, now we can, you know, now we can take a breath and now we can make this. But
yeah, and you can plan out future installments or whatever, that's fine. But when the entire movie becomes about setting up future installments, I don't think that's what's here, because you still have. But I mean, it tends towards that in ways that it does not need to. I think for story, I will give this a 6 again.
There are so many plot holes in this story to me. Like, when you're messing with the powers that Doctor Strange has within the context of the MCU, when you're dealing with all these mythical items and interdimensional stuff, there is a lot of ways to get around what they were doing very simply, very simply. And the fact that it was written with so many plot holes is a major issue. And also, they just kind of give Wanda all these powers. Like, she breaks out of the mirror dimension at one point. How does that happen? How can anybody do that? You know, we saw Thanos punch the mirror dimension. But, I mean, that's one thing. He had literally all of the, or a huge chunk of the, stones.
How can Spider-Man tie the mirror dimension together with his webs and trap Doctor Strange in it? Like,
I think he just fired them and hit something, and it just kind of like, you know, portaled.
Well, he said like math, basically, which I have other reasons for hating that moment.
Yeah, science.
Science is magic, Spider-Man.
Yeah. So there's a lot of issues with that, but I don't know. Story was definitely one of its weakest points. I'm gonna give it a 3. It wasn't the worst thing ever. I don't think. God, if you had interdimensional travel and you started when you're like 7 and you're now like 17, how would you have only gone to 73 different dimensions? Like, just that little throwaway line. Just so many things bug me about
this
movie.
Well, you think
it should be
more? Yeah. Well, I mean, if she can't control it.
But she knows she's triggered by fear. All she'd have to do is go to a horror movie and then bam, she's at another dimension. Well,
she probably doesn't want to go.
Yeah, probably not. But I'm just saying, if you have those powers, you gotta, like, the fact that she doesn't really control, like,
that's a stupid complaint to me.
You have years to hone it, and she doesn't.
She's alone. She's not gonna wanna be hopping universes for no reason. Like, that's the whole point, is that she's afraid of doing it.
Who helped Spider-Man learn how to do his thing? Who helped Peter Parker learn? Nobody. He learned it by himself. He did it with trial and error. Who helped Iron Man, you know, build all his crap? That's by himself. He's doing it.
That's not the problem that I have with her character at all. I think she just doesn't have enough of emotional stake in the story.
That too. She doesn't. She's really
Sarah Connor in this movie. She's afraid, and she has the Doctor Strange become her
surrogate father.
Oh geez, what's the guy?
Died. I don't know.
John Connor's father's name is.
Wasn't he his own father?
No. John Connor's father is the one who impregnates Sarah Connor, but I forget what his name is. Anyways, that guy comes back and protects her, and that's what it is. And I think Cameron knows how to do that very simple story. Like, that's a very simple story in Terminator, where she's Sarah Connor, she's afraid, she's kind of there, and he does that incredibly well, where her character is pretty simple, but you empathize with her, with the way that this movie is just too fast to latch on to her, really.
Yeah.
As a character in peril. But that simple emotion is still enough to drive the story, I think. I don't think it's incredibly flawed. I mean, to say that, to compare her to Sarah Connor's itself, like, you know, that's one of the greatest simple archetypes. And so I think that it's got the building blocks. Next category is acting.
Acting, again, one of the downsides. She didn't really emote very much. If I just saw a vision of my parents dying in front of me, like, from based off a memory that I had that clearly traumatized me, I don't think I would have held it together like that. I don't think anybody would have. And clearly that was bad decision-making there. It wasn't as bad as some people were making it out to be, like, I'm thinking, like, Yellow Flash or some other guys that are really into comic books and movies and whatnot, but it was bad. I think the kids are the worst part by far, and I don't know whether it's entirely on the writing staff or if it's on their acting, but both sucked for that. So that doesn't really give them an excuse. Wanda's pretty bad. Her whole thing's kind of just very one note, and her whole motivation just is really, really lame. And
who's
Wanda's?
Oh, like, and I then disagree.
I think it's stupid. She's like, you don't have kids. Like, You can have kids. Have kids. Just well, like, for God's sake, do some, like in vitro fertilization. Do something.
This might be where the WandaVision show does help, because she has had the kids and she thinks she has had the kids kind of in her head for a long time.
But she can still have the kids. She just has to go to a clinic.
She's attached to the kids that she made up for herself, basically.
But it's so stupid. It's so...
Well, I mean, if you thought that you had a kid, you're not going to say, just be like, ah, okay, who cares?
There's infinite dimensions. She could literally access them, and every one of her kids could be totally different. And the fact that she's only finding these dimensions with these two kids is really silly to me. But literally, there are so many different things. It would just be a matter of which cell takes and how genetics works and You're so many different things, and how your chromosomes like.
Yeah, see, I do not think this is. That's why this is relevant
kids
to
in interdimensional things. Like you would almost never see your own the same kid twice. In if you're going to different dimensions, just a minute difference would change everything. So, anyways, I had a lot of issues with the acting, though. I think the kids were the worst part, but overall, the whole thing was just really. I think the only person that was good was the Sorcerer Supreme, and he was kind of funny.
I'll go 6 for this.
I'm going 3 again.
I think it's competent acting across the board. I don't think the style that Raimi would kind of go for that we see in the Spider-Man films get really off the leash. I think the biggest example of that is Bruce Campbell's cameo, which I loved, the pizza papa where he's smacking himself like that. That's kind of just, you know, unleashed, and I wish that there's more of that.
All I can ever think of is him being in that first one, being the announcer in Spider-Man 1.
Yeah, he's awesome. Six. It's grit. It's just okay across the board. There's nothing fantastic about it, but there's parts of it. Like, it's just a lot of bad mixed with a lot of good kind of narrows down to a 6. Look and feel is our next category.
Oh, this is tough, because sometimes it's looking great, sometimes it's looking terrible. I'm really not a fan of I don't know if it's the same cinematographer who helped with his Spider-Man movies, but Sam Raimi kind of making some of these, you know, I'm assuming he's making some of these calls to do it certain ways in the lighting, and I don't know.
I mean, in Spider-Man, he worked with Bill Pope, so I mean, it's...
I don't know. It just was weird. It seemed something was off about it. Something was really off about the lighting throughout the whole thing to me. It just seemed too bright all the time or something. It just was like,
is every scene
they're having, other than when they're in that like run down dimension, like is every scene like at high noon or at like the golden hour here? Like, I just don't, it just was weird.
Like, what about the scenes in Wanda's house or when they're in the tunnel and it's all dank?
And then 5 seconds later, they're in another thing where it's weird lighting again. So it just that stuff throws me. I don't know. Something about it just really rubbed me the wrong way. I don't have a concise way to put it. Look and feel was not great. Also in that other dimension, they establish on the signs that they have like this weird writing system that looks like it's Braille, but then the memorial.
Are you talking about the universe where green is red and red is green?
Yes.
I don't like that. But I thought that the way that they... This is the thing. I don't like the way that the universe is... It's just the same thing over again, but just slightly different. I don't think that's that interesting.
It wasn't even slightly different. That was those were huge differences in that universe. Like, if you went to a different universe, chances are it's probably going to look the exact same. It would almost be literally identical.
I'd rather have it be completely different.
You'd have a piece of grass be here in one universe and that same piece of grass be like that at one moment. Well, and then you have two different universes that are 100% identical.
Well, you're talking about two different types of multiverses. There's different types of multiverses.
I mean, but I'm just saying that they're making a huge jump. And I don't know, but...
I don't... Why would you want them to be the same?
Because then... Because it's the more accurate way of looking at it. Now, yes, you can make huge jumps.
Accurate to what?
Because there's... At any given moment, there's an infinite amount of universes that are exactly the same as ours and opposite by a minute amount.
We have not observed what other multiverses, if they exist, what they would look like. So there's nothing to be accurate to. This is all absurd. The whole concept is ridiculous.
Or the concept that she finds him in like 5 minutes. That just was so stupid. It's like, you know how many times you'd have to be like digging. Like, you'd have to go to so many universes to just find him.
Well,
there's no way to hone in.
Look and feel. So in terms of look and feel, I think this is better than anything, looks better than anything Marvel will ever do. Has ever done or will ever will do.
Is that excluding even, the Sony Spider-Man movies? Like the
The MCU. Animated. The MCU. Okay. The MCU I'm talking about. Sorry, it's hard to specify, but yes, I mean the MCU. 100% the MCU. But there are things that they've done right in the past. Black Panther is a standout, but then you get all the crap in there that looks... It's the same thing. Like, I think this has the same problem, though. Like, you have things that look incredible, and then there's stuff that's like, what's going on here? You know, like, the shot where he gets the eye pulled out of the monster, like, that's the coolest thing that I've ever seen in an MCU movie ever.
Oh, my God, no.
More like that, please. I'll give this a 7 out of 10.
Okay. Look and feel for me, 4.
You didn't like the fight with the tentacle monster?
It was stupid. It was a waste of time. It didn't amount to anything.
What?
It didn't amount to anything. All she would have had...
I don't even care if it amounts to anything. It's cool.
It was dumb. And if you want... No, there's a...
This is the same thing that, like, the Pirates movies did. Like, we can take a 10-minute detour, not because... I mean, they do work into the plot, but, like, it's... The important part... is that we're doing cool stuff. Like, what happened to movies, blockbusters, where we do cool stuff because it's cool? Like, that's what I was thinking of the scene where
it wasn't cool. You could have had
Davy Jones, you know, puts his tentacles into the dude's face and they come out of his nose and, like, you know, he kills him. Like, would it be the most logical thing for him to do that? It would probably be a lot easier to just take a gun and shoot him in the head, sure. But, like, it looks awesome and it's creative and different.
But
like, since when do we do things because they're more realistic?
But one way or another, him killing him in that scene makes sense and is meant to happen. This, you don't need that. You don't need it to happen. She should have just approached him after the wedding. I was actually more in, for that brief moment. I was interested in his character development.
Are you talking about when she's getting chased by the giant octopus thing?
What was he doing before that? He was at the wedding.
Yeah.
So why are we not letting that whole dynamic flesh out if she's going to be this major character? It didn't. They have this conversation, then the monster attacks, then he's gone. And it's like, okay.
Wait, but she's getting attacked by Wanda. That's laying that story thread. I'm confused.
They already laid that story thread with the opening in that other dimension.
I didn't like that part. I said cut that part out. That part is unnecessary. No,
I'm saying you don't need the squid battle in the middle of New York. You don't need that one. Also, are people seeing it or are they not?
I'm confused,
there's so many issues. There's so many issues I have with this movie. Like, almost every scene I can break down, I have so many issues with this.
This is just so weird to me. Like, I don't know why you can't have her being chased by the octopus.
I'm just saying it doesn't need to be there because she can approach him and you can just have her approach him.
Because that's interesting.
The movie has enough action on its own, but this forgettable little squid fight just feels like it's blah in the middle of... Like, every Marvel movie has its throwaway little action at the beginning that doesn't amount to anything. In Civil War, that fight with Hydra and that, like, at that castle base... It's like stupid, dumb, don't need it. Like, it's just, there's a lot of crap that in a lot of Marvel movies that just doesn't need to be there.
You talking about the end of Civil War?
No, I'm talking about the beginning. Or it might not be Civil War. What movie was that? Was that Captain America 2?
You're talking about Age of Ultron.
Maybe it's Age of Ultron. Yes, Age of Ultron. Thank you. Yeah, it is Age of Ultron. So it's like, it's just like, we already, I don't know. I had issues with it. That, and also, people are running away from it, but we
So you're saying you'd rather have her walk up to Doctor Strange and say, hi, this is my name, than her being chased by a giant octopus squid?
She could have approached him at the wedding. Yes, I think... to cut from emotional development of his character and breaking that down further during the wedding.
That's what you're saying. You don't like that the emotional. I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
You would rather
ruined a scene that was developing naturally, and they interjected this action that didn't need to be there.
Okay, I see what you're saying, and I think
or
that's.
If you want to have the squid fight, have it afterwards. But it was in the middle of the wedding. It was like.
I think I agree with you in terms of the fact that, like, his relationship with her, with Christine needs to be fleshed out further, especially, like, her husband is just completely, like...
Yeah, they've had two movies with her in it, and I feel like I know Betty from the 2009 or 2010 Hulk movie than I do her.
Well, no, I see what you're saying in terms of, like, the emotional conclusion of that interaction and that scene is not reached. I agree with that. So I think you're misdiagnosing the problem. The problem is not with the squid fight. The problem is that should have been finished and then you interrupted.
Yeah, but that's still an issue of pacing and writing. So, yeah. At least we're kind of meeting in a middle ground here. I don't know. Are we still on look and feel?
No, we both get our scores for that. We can go on to experience.
Let's just get that done. Yeah. I don't know. The more and more I analyze this, I mean, the worse it is. I actually want to change my first impression, though, now, because what was I at a 3 or 4?
No, you give it a 4.
Give it a 2. 2 is where I'm at.
No, we're past it. You got to talk.
I'm going to give experience a higher... experience is like a 6 for me.
Oh, okay.
But I'm serious. I want first impression to be a 2 because I've only seen this once and I'm still like, I'm processing this all and it's just like... Almost every scene I think of, I'm now having an issue with.
Okay, so the thing about me is that, like, I agree with you. None of it makes sense. Like, it's all ridiculous, but, like, I don't have a problem with that. Like, this is what the way it is. Like,
I don't know if I've ever had so many holes in a Marvel movie before.
Well,
like,
they all are stupid. None of them make sense.
Iron Man works. I mean, there are better movies, like way better movies than this in the MCU
that
are executed well.
Making sense is a fair criteria for a superhero movie. This is what I'm talking about when I was talking about the other like movies that are trying so hard to make sense that they forget to be fun.
Iron Man 1, 2, and the Hulk movie. Hulk movie does have an issue at the very, very, very end.
Okay.
But all of those are perfectly executed other than that.
You can nitpick things as much as you want. You can find stuff that's wrong with it, I think.
I'm not seeking them out. They're just
regular movie
to me.
No, I agree. I see what you're saying there.
We got to go.
Experiences are... Oh, my score for experience. Yeah. I'll give this... I had a great time with this, actually. I'll give this a 7. It's a fun movie, and I think it's not one where the, you know, philosophical stupidity, I guess, is a better... For me, that's the stuff that I get really annoyed by, which has been a problem with the past few MCU movies. You know, and there's a lot of stuff here that's just awesome and is really fun to... It's people making creative choices, which is what I really want in a film. So, it's not the only thing, but 7 for experience. Final score is a 52 out of 100, which puts it pretty near the bottom.
Yeah, that's real low.
Because I liked it, but I didn't give it super high scores either. Holy cow, we gave Artificial Intelligence a 52? Oh, I didn't know you... I forgot you hated that movie.
Oh, yeah. One of the worst movies I've ever seen in my life.
Oh my gosh, I love that movie.
Ugh, it was so bad. You want to talk about bad acting?
There's
another movie with terrible child acting.
Okay.
Annihilation. Let's go through this.
52 for Multiverse of Madness. First category for Annihilation is...
Well, no, let's break down. I'm going to quickly run through Annihilation. Okay. What happens in this movie? Okay, you have this weird anomaly happening in this like national park in the middle of Louisiana, I believe, somewhere on the Gulf. It's expanding. It's kind of a bubble that's happening in this area. Anytime scientists or anybody goes into that area, which they've cordoned off, they go into this anomaly, never come back. We're on this present team of all female scientists and soldiers and analysts and everything like that.
Mm-hmm.
They go in and funky stuff starts happening. This movie came out kind of right around the same time as Arrival. I kind of consider those two movies, Arrival and Annihilation, to kind of be like, you know, almost not connected.
In your head, you're connecting.
Yeah,
them,
in my head, I categorize them together as like this weird era of female scientific sci-fi movies. Both I like, though. But Annihilation, so yeah, they go on this adventure in there, and they go deeper and deeper in. Weird stuff starts to happen. Things start to kind of like seem to morph together and combine, and the natural world seems to be getting distorted. And then eventually they come across the anomaly, which I won't get into because the anomaly is like, seeing that part's pretty cool, and some of the stuff that happens in this is awesome. I think I summed it up pretty okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. That's pretty much the whole movie.
First category is first impression.
When I first saw this movie, I think I was renting it. I watched it. I liked it a lot. Had one of the scariest scenes I've ever experienced in my life in a movie. And, man, it's very, very freaky and weird, but I also kind of I liked it a lot, but I do remember kind of feeling and upon first watch, it was definitely like a 7 out of 10 for me. I still like it, but I've never needed to see it again.
Yeah, I think the funny thing about this is that I was thinking about the plot of this. So I saw this before I watched Andrei Tarkovsky's Stalker, which is one of the greatest films of all time, but I watched it after this. And the plot of Stalker is basically there's the zone, and the characters walk into the zone, and their goal is to get to the room at the middle of the zone, and there's like weird stuff that happens inside the zone.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little bit more complicated than that, but again, just in terms of like, you know, the basic setup, it's very similar. And I hadn't really thought about that until, like, I don't know, when we said we were going to do this, but the taking your cues from Tarkovsky is a great place to take cues from. So I'm not like, you know, I think it's a great influence, and this movie differentiates itself in the way that like you have the thematic through line of basically self-destruction in a certain sense, and how the things that are inside the shimmer basically influence that. And I think Natalie Portman's character, you know, what she goes through and how the shimmer impacts her like psychologically, and like the weird trick this movie plays with time. And again, a lot of it's very similar to Stalker, looking back at the fact. I'm not kind of putting all the little things together. I would recommend Stalker 100% if you have not seen it. Fantastic movie. But here, there's still a lot of interesting stuff going on. I think it's very heady sci-fi. I love that kind of stuff. It's got a slow enough pace, I think. The middle section of the movie, you could argue, I think even my head, I've said that like it's a little bit too slow. It's a lot of stuff. I think compared to Stalker, which does the stuff in the zone better, this in the middle, it's just the same kind of thing happening over and over again in different ways, if that makes sense. Like each character kind of has the same thing happen to them, but in they're impacted in kind of a slight variation of that, if that makes sense. You know what I'm saying? If you've seen the movie. So again, I think the middle part's just a little bit slow, but I like the movie overall. I'll give this an 8 for first impression is kind of think what I gave it when I came out of the theater. It's super heady. And I
you
was
saw
like,
it in the theater?
Yeah.
Oh man. I saw it twice in the theater. So bad in the theater. Oh my God. I would have been freaking out. Like I can't do horror, and it's like weird because it's sci-fi, and then for like 5 minutes it's a horror movie, and then it kind of comes back to being just normal sci-fi. But all right, next category.
You didn't give a score.
I gave it a 7 for first.
Oh, impression. Sorry, didn't hear. Story is next category.
I was all right with the story. I didn't really have any issues with it. It kind of was weird at the end there, but it wasn't terrible. Still don't fully understand everything like that pertained to what they kind of meet at the end, but like what's the danger if the shimmer kind of goes away, but I don't know. Story was fine. 7 again.
I kind of talked about this already, but I think the thematic threads that are pulled through, they're almost too obvious in the way that they kind of interact with the shimmer. But I think the ending kind of obfuscates it enough that I'm still on board with it. Like just the weird unexplained stuff that happens. I love that kind of stuff. And I'm really excited to see what Alex Men is. His new movie is coming out soon. So again, this is kind of actually apt. I think I'll give this an 8 for story.
All right.
Next category is acting.
Acting was, how can you go around Natalie Portman, first off?
Yeah. Like,
and I'm trying to remember some of the other actresses in here that are main cast, but I don't remember anybody doing a bad job. So
yeah, you've got, I think it's Jennifer Jason Leigh playing the main doctor. Tessa Thompson is playing the one with the glasses, and she's great.
Yeah, so they're all solid.
Oscar Isaac. Benedict Wong is in this as well. Benedict Wong, whose character's name is actually Wong from Doctor Strange. Yeah, he's at the beginning and the end. He's kind of the one interviewing her.
Yeah.
So it opens with her interviewing him interviewing her, so you know that she survives at the very beginning of the movie, which is an interesting kind of story thing, but he's interviewing her, and we're basically seeing it through her perspective, so there's a bit of an unreliable narrator thing as well going on. I think that acting, I will give this a 8.
Same.
I'm going to go a 7. I'm going to go a 7. I don't think it's good enough to be an 8.
I'm giving it an 8.
Look and feel.
That's where this is a 10. I mean, what they do with some of the visuals in this are fantastic, and I like when a movie can kind of expand upon this concept, and some of the stuff that they had to do with computer graphics and everything, and they had to like create all these new, unique, weird shapes towards the end of the movie. Very cool what they were able to do, and I would kind of watch this like behind the scenes thing and how they created that. So yeah. 10 out of 10 for that.
I'll give this 7 as well.
Okay. And final.
Experience.
I remember I liked this movie. It freaked me out a little bit in the end. I was kind of like, I know I had a nightmare about that bear at least once.
Yeah.
But I always do. Like, it's weird, man. Whenever something gives me a nightmare, it's always a bear. It's always a bear. It's something. It's like when I watched The Terror, it was the Toonbox, which is kind of a bear thing. It's
this bear. It's like just, I don't know, man. It's always a bear with me. So I don't know. Still really good though. Overall, I had fun with it, but I'm going to give it a 7. I don't think it was like the best ever. Again, I've never seen it a second time. I've never felt compelled to.
Yeah. The first time I saw this, it was extremely heady. And I think that part where she's like sitting or he's sitting down and it's just like holds there, it messes with your head because it's just the same still shot for a long time. It makes you think that it's like moving, but it's not mm-hmm. that kind of thing. And there's, I think the headiness of it is a great first experience. So I'll give this an 8.
All right. And then we'll tally up the score here and then give a little bit of a gift to the fans who have listened to us for the last 4 years here.
Final score is a 77 out of 100.
All right. Not bad at all on our scale. So thank you to everyone who has tuned in today and for the past 4 years. It's been a pleasure being here, entertaining you, giving you our film takes. And from the bottom of our hearts, we just want to say thank you and have a good rest of your day, and we leave you with this little bit here to listen to as we sign off for the final time.
Doctor, I'd like to kiss you goodbye.
All right, but you're so damned ugly.
As the years blow by, baby, more I come to know myself, more it seems my love grows for you. Surely I'd be dead, baby, had I gone with someone else. For this and more, my love's owed to you.
The world's still the same. It's just less in it.
Okay. Anytime it feels as though my love has gone away. Okay. Settle down, turn around, take this song.
In accordance with what we think your dying wishes might well have been, we commit your final mortal remains to the bosom of the Pacific Ocean, which you love so well. Good night, sweet prince.
Got to know your heart, baby. Still so much for me to learn. And as I do, my love stays.
I guess that's the way the whole darned human comedy keeps perpetuating itself. Well, I hope you folks enjoy yourselves. Catch you later on down the trail.
Baby, had I made another turn, glad the turn that I made was you. Okay. Anytime it feels as though my love has gone away.
I didn't ever get a chance to tell you, but I love you.
Settle down, turn around.
Guess what?
Take this song. Okay. Anytime it feels as though my love has gone away. Okay. Settle down, turn around, and take this song. Let it play.
In case I don't see ya. Good afternoon, good evening, and good night.